Huh?
May I interview you?
Yeah, that's what I call you for.
Great.
I got your letter here and everything, and I said, okay, well, I'll get back to you. I've been so long, I mostly done forgot.
Well, we'll try to jog the memories of a few people.
Before you start interviewing, I just want to know that I have, work with a few of the baseball collectors and autographs and all that. So I got my whole history and I got some 8x10 photos and they in color and different clubs. See, I played with 3 or 4 different major league clubs and
yes.
I have all of those. And I would just want to know if you're interested in them and you can make copies from them and then you can sell them for whatever you want, you know.
Well, yeah, I think we could do something
that's
there.
That's the way the way I go to the cars, they pay me, well, it's $7.50 for my baseball history and different club when I started out, how much I was making, my batting average at different clubs and everything, and then my photo go for $7.50, so it's $15 for both of them. I don't know how many you want, well, you don't have to get any, but I was just saying, and then you can have some copies made and you can sell them for 20 or 30, whatever you want. You can sell them for $10 a piece. That's
well,
your board, autograph show.
Well, I will tell you, I would love to have both a picture and a history of you. I will stick a check out in the next day or so. I don't know if I myself don't sell things.
Yeah, well, I understand, but I thought maybe if you had some kids or something, they keep it for souvenir, show them to their friend or something. Now, they really goes, I'm telling you.
I bet they do.
It's a lot of history, you know?
Well, I will put this in the interview, and I'm sure you'll get a lot of response from that.
Yeah, well, it's okay with me, because they swarmed me for them. I sent them all over the United States.
Uh-huh. I bet. There's more people remember you than you think. You know that, don't you?
Beg your pardon?
There's more people remember you than you think, I'm sure.
Well, I know because I still get autographs coming in here in mail every day, and they call me to be on autograph shows, and, I'm still playing old-timers games, and I'll get around pretty good. It's been so long. Okay, now, if you want to start the interview, I'd do the best I can.
Okay. Well, I'll just ask you probably, 10 or 12 questions, and if you just answer them either as short or as long as you want to, a lot of it will be on your history, most of it will be, and on your feelings about certain things.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you played 4 years with Memphis, and you had a .362 average. At no time did you lead a league in average. How could you not lead a league when you were hitting that good?
Well, I had a good average, but it just somebody just out hit me a lot. I played regular, but I just couldn't ever lead the league. And after I got in Triple A ball, well, I led the league.
Yeah, you hit. I mean, evidently there was no pitching that was too difficult for you because you hit like the dickens wherever you were.
Well, that was real true, and I came up against some good pitchers. They made it to the major league, guys like Bob Turley and Don Lawson and quite a few more. But I was a hitter, but I just couldn't get my chance at the time.
Well, who did finally sign you out of the Negro Leagues?
Chicago White Sox. I was the first black that Chicago signed.
Uh-huh.
Chicago White Sox.
And that's who you came up with originally in the majors?
Right.
Okay, Baltimore drafted you, is that correct?
Baltimore got me, yeah. I spent most of my time with Baltimore, and I played for Kansas City, Milwaukee, that was Kansas City A's,
right.
Charlie Sterling was there, and I played with the, that's right, White Sox,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
And you were the first Oriole to ever hit over 300, first regular.
Right.
318, I believe.
Yeah, right.
You evidently, it's like from the records I have, it's, I can't tell, but you evidently could hit left-handers as well as right-handers. Is that true?
Yes, at the time, but since after Paul Richard, he's the manager, you know, and after he started switching, you know, he wanted all right-hand hitters in against the left-hand, and so when he sit me down and used me as a pinch hitter, and he wouldn't let me play regular against the left-hander sometimes, but when he get in a jam, he always called me to pinch hit against the left-hand pitcher, yet and still he wouldn't start me most of the time. He would just depend on me, you know, but I would like to be in there regular against him, and that's what it got me where I didn't face him often like I used to, and that's why I fell in my batting average a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, still, falling, you, I guess if you knock out the early, the first couple early seasons you had with the White Sox when you were just coming up, you probably had right out of 300 career average. You had a couple pretty rocky years when you first came up.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I didn't get to play too regular because at the time they had a guy named Eddie Robinson. He was the great long ball hitter,
right.
And then they got rid of him and got hold to best first base in the American League. That was Fizz Thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept me on the bench most of the time as a pinch hitter, just breaking me in. So they sent me out to the farm team. And when Thing, he had a little trouble in Washington, and he got his hand broke, and that's where I got my chance.
Well, you made the most of it. What? In all your time, in either the Negro Leagues or the Major Leagues, is there one game that stands out in your memory?
Well, mostly in the Major League, I remember I broke up a no-hitter against the Yankees, Bob Kuzawa.
Yeah, I remember him.
He was a pitcher.
A left-hander.
Left-hand, yeah. And I got a line drive double off in the ninth minute, and then after the guy made the last start, I was coming to the dugout, and then one of the fans threw a Coca-Cola bottle out there and hit me on the leg.
Oh, boy.
The broke up his no-hitter, so that wasn't nothing to that. You know, it just, the thing about the majors, you know, I was just trying to make it to the major league.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my only thing, so they paid off, and I was glad to do it, you know, but I just... They kept me down a long time, and I'm just reading why I didn't last so long.
Well, you were in your late 20s, I guess, before you made it to stay, weren't you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's kind of tough.
But they had to wait till my time come, you know.
Yeah. Well, you made the most of it. What about the biggest thrill you had in baseball? Was there something that was really exciting to you at the time?
Well, not really. I was just proud was thrilled that I had a pretty good average when I was in the major league. I hit 300 there for quite a few times.
Four or five times, I believe.
Yeah,
huh?
Right. And also in the minors, too, so I was did pretty good.
Yes, you did. But no one thing stands out better than big anything else.
Well, I said playing Major League Ball.
That's got pretty much answer. In all your time, now in any league, at any level, who's the best player you saw?
Well, the best player I saw was Ted Williams.
Mm-hmm.
It was Boston Red Sox.
Sure.
We used to use the shift on him, and I was playing first base, and he always, at that time, he couldn't hit the ball to the left field. Everything is coming to right.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit a ball one time, I was playing first base. I played kind of short right field, and he hit a ball down so hard, and at the time they had those strap bags, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the ball hit the bag and broke the straps, and the bag come sliding out there, and the ball stayed right there where first base at. I've never seen anything like it before.
I've never seen one of those straps break like that. I've seen them slide into it and break them.
Hit that ball so hard, it broke the bag, and the bag was going on in the outfield. the ballroom, but the ball stayed there.
Yeah. Did he beat it out, or did you get to it?
No, there was no way for me to get to it. Yeah, he beat it out. he's the greatest hitter I ever seen.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah, he was.
What about pitchers? Who was the best pitcher you think you saw?
Well, I tell you, it's rough. It's great, but I had trouble with take Allie Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
You take Bobby Sella and Willie Wynn, and also Whitey Ford. I can name a bunch of them. You know, Frank Larry and Lindell, Johnny Lindell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he threw a knuckleball, and that's the only ball that really gave me trouble.
Lindell was in the, didn't he pitch in the National League?
Yeah, he pitched in the National League, but mostly I faced him was in the minor league.
Oh, I see.
In the Pacific Coast. Yeah, he just had a butterfly ball. That's all he threw, his knuckleball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of pitches. I mean, it was great in those days.
Yeah, but you know, you say you had these guys gave you hard times. You're a 300 hitter. They couldn't have given you too hard a time.
Well, no, not really. You know, but I make up. You know, Cleveland at the time, Cleveland had the best. They used a four at the time. Cleveland had the best. Four was in the league, you know, every day you would see a good pitcher, like Bob Sella, Bob Lemon, Mike Garcia, and Ottoman or something.
Ottoman, yeah.
And then the next would be the Yankees.
Yeah.
After the Yankees, you'd only have two more good ones on a club, you know, just like Detroit, you know, St. Louis, Brown, you know, like Ned Garver. You go to the other clubs, well, they don't want to have two, but those two clubs out, they had four.
Yeah.
So that's why I make up a lot, you know.
So you get a break with the other teams.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So you.
Satisfied, I can even get the big four, get one or two hits off of them, you know, and hold right there, and then when I meet the, you know, not as good, I can run my average up.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty good.
Just hold your own against the good ones and hope for the best against the other guys. Yeah. Okay. Who was the one? You named a lot of guys. Who do you think was the one hardest pitcher for you to hit?
Herb Skoll.
Yeah?
Herb Skoll from Cleveland.
I bet he was. Before he got hurt, I bet he was something.
Hit him to save my life.
Well, you know, a lot of guys come into that heading.
Yeah, I could see Bob Gibson. He was pretty fast, you know, and his ball rise when he get right at the hitter. But I hit him better than I did Herb Skoll. Herb Skoll, I just couldn't hit him at all.
Yeah, well, it's a shame he got hurt, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
He would have been something. A lot of fellas said that he was better than Koufax if he'd have stayed sound.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, I've seen Koufax and he's good. Juan Spahn up there, he good. Lou Burdette, they was good back then.
Mm-hmm. Every team had at least a couple of real good pitchers back then.
Right, yeah.
From your careers, did you save souvenirs and mementos?
Well, did. A few souvenirs, but I got rid of all of them. A collector came from California out here, and he bought all of them, the stuff I had.
Hmm.
Yeah, mostly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did you keep anything for yourself?
Well, I have my scrapbook. They're trying to get that out of me, but I think I'm going to have it for my grandkids, you know, because they play little league ball.
Yeah.
think I'm going to save them then.
That's good. They need something from Grandpa.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a couple of bats, and I have a glove, and I just turn it all over to them. And they want all of that, see?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's something they'll treasure, too.
Right, yeah.
Well, you mentioned you get a lot of fan mail. I'm not surprised at all. I bet you get an awful lot of fan mail because you were an awfully good ball player.
Thank you very much.
I remember years when I was a kid. I guess I was probably 13 or 14 years old when you came to the Orioles. And I liked you. I don't know why a kid becomes a fan, but you became one of my favorite players. I used to go to the box scores every day, and I'd write down what you did every day so I could have your record day in and day out. You were a good ball player. You were not a big first baseman, though, were you?
No, I was kind of small, you know, and that's what was against me, too, because I wasn't tall, you know, and they, mm-hmm. you know, for the high ball, somebody having to throw a high ball or something, you know, like them tall first base.
Yeah.
Now, that's what they really like, those tall first basemen. But I had speed and, you know, I mean, it was a good fielder, so my arm, see, they tried me in the outfield.
Yes. Chicago put you out there a while, didn't they?
Yeah, and so I got out there and tried to make a real quick throw and broke my arm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, clean. I tried to throw out Jim Higgins, a catcher. He used to catch with Cleveland.
Yeah, good catcher.
Throw him out. And they had, that was when Minnie Minoso, me and him was out. Minnie was playing third. Fane, he was playing first. And I was playing left field, so they brought Minnie Minoso from left field in to play third, because I think one third baseman, somebody got hurt or something. And then they tried me in the outfield, and I wasn't used to playing out there.
Mm-hmm.
I made that real strong throw and broke my heart.
I'll be darned.
So they sent me back to Baltimore, and then they had surgery and wired it up, and then during the winter time, they sent me to Cuba to play winter ball over there in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So, the wire was still in my arm. I went over there and made a throw, tried to get a double play, and I broke the wire in it. Then I had to come back to Baltimore again.
Oh, boy.
They opened it up and got the wire out of it, but the ball had been knit back together. The thing about it is the wire, you know, I just raised my arm up and down like that, it was scratching there, you know.
Well, that would tear the muscle up if it had stayed in there.
I opened it up and just pulled the wire out, and so and I've been going ever since.
It has never bothered you since?
Yeah, I played ball, and when I had a broke arm, and they wouldn't even allow me to throw a ball, because I was playing, they wanted me to play for him. I could hit, but I couldn't throw.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want me to throw because I might, you know, damage my arm again.
But you could have been a
bit. So whenever players come up to do some bunting, they had to force a man at second base. Well, he put me in the outfield and bring somebody else in to play first until our play is executed, you know.
Was this Paul Richards doing that?
Yeah.
He did a lot of that switching around, didn't he?
And he bring me back to first base. Yeah, Paul was a baseball man.
I remember he used to occasionally put Billy Pierce, I think, he put him at first base and bring in somebody.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he was something. Well, tell me, Bob, would you go back to the mid-1940s and play baseball again?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so, because, we didn't make any money.
Yeah.
You know, at the first place. See, we get $2 a day and mostly ride the bus, hardly ever slept in a hotel. We gonna travel from city to city, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I was a walk-on when I started in Negro League. I was just a walk-on, and I guess I was good enough that they signed me and sent me to the home club, and I stayed there for a while, and they called me back. I got going ever since. And my contract when I first signed was $175 a month.
Oh, boy.
So that's it. I don't want to go back.
Would you play baseball again if it wasn't for the money situation?
Yes, I would, you know. Because I really like the game, and that's about all I have done, you know, play it, travel around. So I just sometimes go and play an old timers game. And, you know, I got a letter from the big league, you know, they want me to travel around from city to city to play in the old timers. And just quick as they get the roster together and call me. So I have to meet them and playing some of the old timers. You know, like they usually do last year?
Yeah.
But they have a new sponsor now. The guy, he dropped it, so it's called the Upper Deck now.
Was that the baseball card people?
Yeah, that's an old time. They call it Upper Deck.
Okay, I didn't realize they changed sponsors.
Yeah, they changed sponsors. So the other guy dropped it, so they changed. We got a new sponsor, so they changed the name of it.
That should be a lot of fun, I would think, for you.
Well, yeah, it would. You get to see some of your friends and the guys you played against, you know, and just go out and have a good time. Everybody enjoyed, really.
I know the fans enjoyed.
Yeah. That's when I'm trying to play old times in Baltimore, and I don't know when I'm going again.
Well, that's good. Do you have any regrets from your baseball career? Anything you would like to have done different or be able to do over or anything?
No, I can't remember. Not at all, because baseball has been good to me, and I stuck with it, and so now I'm just happy to get a chance to play.
Yeah. Well, good. Very few guys, I've talked to several former players, very few of them have any regrets, no matter how good or bad their careers were. You know, some guys played 3 years and ended up with a 160 batting average, and they said they didn't have any regrets. They loved doing it. That's a real good attitude.
The one thing I really like about it, I fooled around and was there long enough to get on the pension plan. You know, that's a help.
Oh, I bet it is.
Yeah, so it's all right. Got a back pay bonus not long ago.
Yeah, I heard that there was just a raise, a retroactive raise.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's got to be frustrating to the fellows who just didn't quite make it long enough.
Yeah.
Because I understand that's very lucrative for you fellows.
So they double my pension too on that. So that worked out real fine.
Great. One more question. Your nickname was Rope. Who gave you that?
Well, the coach to be with the White Sox, Norman Harris. Norm Harris.
Yeah, he was with the Braves too, wasn't he, later on?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he was a big league, ex-big league pitcher back there a long time ago. Yeah, well, he did. He just went to Columbia. I had a little. See, I'd hit the ball so, you know, hard and straight on the line, because I wasn't a large man, you know, and I just couldn't hit no home runs. But everything I hit, it looked like it was on a line. So he, one day he brought, in spring training, he had bought a little piece of rope about 2 feet long and had it in his back pocket. And then when I come the batting cage, the bat, he had pulled that rope out of his pocket and laid it at home plate. And he said, "There's the rope." And so the old body started calling me the rope.
That's pretty good. Now, I heard said one time, now I said I was a kid when you were playing, but I don't know if I was told or read it or heard it on the radio. They said you would have had the home run power more than you did if you had not had such a level swing. The word was that you had probably the most level swing in the league.
Yeah.
And that if you had maybe uppercut just a little bit, that you'd have been driving some balls out.
Yeah, I see. Well, I don't know. I wasn't worried about the home run at the time. It's because I was fast.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to do is get the ball between somebody.
Right.
That's all I was thinking about.
Okay, you did have a reputation for being pretty quick, but back when you played, stolen bases were not emphasized.
They never would let me steal bases. I don't know why.
Well, nobody stole in your day.
The most I've stolen base was 40. Let's see. Stolen base 42, I believe. I was in Pacific Coast League. I think I led the league in stolen base.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most I ever did in a run at 2 acres. Paul Rich and Neil Wood, I don't know why. Every once in a while, he would let me go, and he wouldn't. I just don't know why.
Well, that's a shame, because at least from what people said about you and I read about you, you could have probably been a good stolen base threat for a few years.
I think I would have myself, because I just don't know why.
It's just a different game then from now.
Right.
Well, Bob, I've enjoyed this. As I said, I was a fan of yours. Good God, how long ago was that? That's almost 40 years ago.
I know. Yeah, well, thank you very much. And glad to talk with you and everything.
I'm going to stick a check out to you. I would sure like your history.
Not for no interview. You don't have to. I just want to know if you would like to have one or two of those pictures. I can just put them in the mail and...
Oh, I would love to, Bob. I really would.
Now, which one would you want? I would Kansas City A's. I would Baltimore. I got two different folders with Baltimore.
Well, now,
you'd be crazy about them. They are nice.
That's where I first... I knew you with the White Sox, but I don't think I was a fan of you until you went to Baltimore. That's when I became your fan. So I would really like Baltimore.
Well, I got two poles in Baltimore. You just want one or two?
I'd like to pay for them.
Huh?
I would like to pay for them. So.
Well, I know, but I said, did you want one or two?
Oh, I'd like both.
Okay, well, I'll send you two Baltimore, and that'll be $30.
Okay, well, I will get that out to you here. I'll stick it up probably tomorrow's mail. If not, it'll go out in Monday's mail. Depends on when I get the post office.
In the mail in my baseball history. And hey, you really enjoy.
Well, I'm sure I will.
Well, okay, I'll get them out in the mail tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
Let me ask you one quick question.
Yes.
Do you want a copy? Well, first two questions. Do you want to see this before I send it to the magazine?
Well, not really. Not really.
Okay, some fellas do in case they want to make sure they're not misquoted, but I promise you I'm not going to misquote you.
No, I'm not really, because I have... a lot of write-ups, everything.
Okay.
Everything will be all right.
Would you like a couple copies of the magazine when it's published?
Oh, yeah, I will.
Okay.
Okay.
It'll probably be 6 months. It's usually about 6 months from the time I send it in until they publish it. So sometime this summer, it'll be in the magazine, and I'll have them send two or three copies to you as soon as it's published.
Yeah, okay then. Well, I got your letter and your number here. So
okay.
I'll get in touch with you later on.
Okay.
All right, and thank you, and hello to you and your family.
Okay, Bob. Thanks very much, and tell your grandkids to be good ball players.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.